Grace and peace to you all from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's just a joy to be with you this Sunday morning as we worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. As always, I have several announcements to make before we get started. The first is immediately following worship session has called for a congregational meeting to be held to approve an additional purchase, additional portion of the land to be sold. That will occur immediately following our worship today. I'd like to extend a warm welcome to all our visitors, and we're so glad that you've joined us this morning. We here at Cook's are delighted to see you. Please be sure to see one of the ushers before you leave to receive a visitor's pamphlet and info on Cook's Church. Please note, due to the cold and wet weather, session has voted to not have lemonade on the lawn or fellowship on the lawn, rather. During the months of December, January, February, and March. We'll be back again in April. We did this because it just is so cold outside and getting things ready is too much. If you've purchased a Walmart or Target gift card for this year's Angel Tree, please be sure to put them in the church offering plate this morning. See Fred Cox this morning if you have any questions about that. Our Bible study for all adults is every Sunday at 6 p.m. in our sanctuary. The current study topic is looking forward to Christmas. Please be sure to join us. If you don't get enough Christmas joy this morning, please come back this evening. It's a great lesson that Freddie's got lined up for us tonight, so please come and join us. Next weekend, the Queen City Ringers Holiday Handbell Concert. Gosh, if you weren't here for it, we had such an amazing choir organ concert on Sunday of a week ago. And we continue that wonderful musical tradition here at Cook's by hosting the Queen City Ringers next Saturday at 2 p.m. This is going to be a fun and beautiful concert, and I invite you to come and bring some friends with you. A love offering will be received. Thank you to everyone who provided the beautiful poinsettias that we are decorating our sanctuary morning with in honor of or in memory of a loved one. Please be sure to take yours home after worship next Sunday after our Christmas Eve worship service. Those are the announcements that I have. It seems as though I'm forgetting something. So are there any other announcements that we need to have before we get started with our worship service? Yes. That's the announcement. Thank you. In the sanctuary, in the narthex, or the entryway, we have these wonderful cards that you can take, and we hope that you will. And on one level, they could be slid into a neighbor's mailbox, where they put the circulars. That's one way to do it. Or if you're a little more daring, you could ring the doorbell and offer to invite them, offering to pray for them as well. So there's lots of ways you can do this, but I encourage you to get as many as you want. They're in the narthex on the way out, and invite people to our Christmas Eve service. So many people are longing for the Lord Jesus Christ and don't know it. And Christmas services can be, and Easter as well, can be a real way that people come in or introduced to the Lord Jesus Christ in kind of a non-offensive, festive manner. And it really works. We see people bounce back after Christmas and Easter all the time. And so we pray for those folks because we know they want to forge a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And the first step is getting them here. So avail yourself of these cards. Thank you for the reminder. Any other announcements now before we get started?
Yes, Jason.
Yes.
Don't forget that we will begin taking up the joy gift offering starting next Sunday and Christmas Eve. So there should be envelopes in the pews. So you can put your contributions in those.
Awesome. Okay, anything else before we get started? All right, then let's open our hearts and minds to the worship of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Today we light the third candle of Advent, the candle of joy. The coming of Jesus into the world is good news and brings great joy, a joy that is deeper than happiness and rooted in the unshakable truth of God's love and faithfulness. The angel announced, this joy on the night Jesus was born. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This joy is not dependent on our circumstances, but is found in knowing Jesus, the one who came to bring life and life abundantly. Through him, we are invited to the joy of salvation, a joy that remains even in the face of trials and uncertainty. The psalmist declares, "You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are the pleasures forevermore." As we light this third candle, we rejoice in the gift of Jesus, who fills our hearts with joy and gives us a reason to celebrate, no matter what. In his presence, we find the fullness of joy, and through his Spirit, the joy overflows into our lives and into the world around us. Let us pray. Joyful God, thank you for the good news of Jesus. Brings joy to our hearts and hopes to our lives. As we prepare to celebrate his birth, may joy fill us and overflow into your actions, words, and relationships. Help us to reflect the light of joy in a world longing for hope. Amen.
Let's continue in prayer. God of boundless joy, we come into your presence with hearts lifted, yet ready to rejoice in the gift of the season. You have filled the word with your promise of hope, the beauty of peace, and the radiance of love. As we prepare to celebrate the birth of your Son, let the joy of your salvation overflow in our lives. Stir within us the deep gladness that cannot be shaken, a joy that proclaims your goodness in every season. May our worship today reflect the wonder of heaven's song and the light of Christ that shines in our hearts. In his holy and everlasting name we pray. Amen. I invite you to rise now and sing with me our first hymn, those of you who are able. The final part of my announcements. We've removed the Gloria Patri from the service, so there'll be a strange flow today, but we hope it'll become normal over time. We remember from 1 John that if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sin, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive us of our sins and wash us of all of our transgressions. We make these statements to God, confessing our sins, because we recognize that at our core we still fall short of the glory of God. And yet, as we dare confess our sin corporately, we find ourselves drawing nearer to God and thus feeling closer to the wellspring of our salvation, which is Jesus Christ. So feel the joy even in the pain that comes through admission of our shortcomings. I invite you to join me in this morning's prayer of confession, leaving time for a silent confession of sin before we receive the good news. Join me as we pray together. Gracious God, in this season of waiting and preparation, we confess that we often lose sight of your coming. Forgive us for our impatience, our distractions, and the failure to prepare room in our hearts for you. Shine your light into our darkness and help us to walk in the hope, peace, joy, and love that you bring. Renew us as we await the Savior's birth. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. By the waters of our baptisms, I declare to you a wonderful, everlasting truth. God has chosen to inscribe our names in the book of life, and he did so before the foundations of the earth. That's what the Bible tells us. And in that assurance, we can know that nothing in this world or in the world to come will ever separate us from the love of our God in Christ Jesus. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven this day and forever. Amen. And now let us sing what it is we believe of our faith using the words of our song. At this point, we'd like to have the children and youth come forward to join Miss Bev for a time that's just for them.
Just go ahead and sit down. Good morning. She's going. Shh. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Are you guys awake? Yeah? Okay, good. Glad to hear that. Who can tell me what this is? Manger. It's a manger? Right. Who was in this manger? Do you know? Who are we waiting for to be born? Jesus, right. And we see pictures of him in this wooden manger. But guess what? The early artists that actually the Christian artists were mostly from Europe, the early ones. And in Europe, they had a lot of trees. And that's why the winters were cold. They had to cut the grass and dry it and make hay for the animals. So they had wooden mangers that they put the hay in for the animals. But you know what? That was in Europe. The landscape in Israel was very, very different. There weren't many trees, hardly any. And it was mostly hills and caves and stone. And so they made their houses out of stone, and their stables were caves. And they were cool in the summer, and then in the cold nights, because in Egypt the nights got cool, then it kept them sheltered. It also was a climate where it was warm all year long, so they didn't have to cut hay. They could eat grass outside all the time. Mostly the mangers were made of stone, and they were used mostly to hold water. Can we show the slide? This is what they have found, mangers like this in Egypt, in near Bethlehem especially, where there's more stone than anything, that they have found mangers of all different sizes and shapes, but they're mostly of a block shape, and they're usually 3 to 5 inches deep. They're short for the sheep and goats, and they're longer for the baby donkeys. They're usually used, and I'm using my cheat sheet here, for the perfect lambs, the ones that were used for religious rituals, and they were pure and they were spotless, and they kept them in these stone mangers to protect them and keep them pure and spotless. And that was because it was they were kept for religious rituals. Now, Jesus is the Lamb of God, and he also was placed in a manger and later sacrificed for our sins. The sheep were at the manger, because you see the manger scenes, and you see the sheep. They were there, as you can see right here, because the shepherds came. Now, the ox and the donkey that we see come from Isaiah chapter 1, verse 3. The ox knows its master, the donkey its owner's manger, its owner's mangers. But Israel does not know. My people do not understand. So the ox and the donkey also were at the manger, and they are recognized. The donkey recognizes who feeds and waters them. That's what comes from that from the beginning. But Israel does not recognize God, his hand, in their lives. That comes from Scripture. The manger included in the verse tells are the ox and the donkey thought to be at the site. Jesus likely was born in the stone cave. Why was he born in the stone cave? Do you know why he was born in the stone cave? There wasn't any room in the inn for him, so they had to go to the stable, and the stables were stone caves at that time. So they wrapped him in linen swaddling, and they laid him in that stone manger. Now, at death, he was also buried in a stone tomb, and he was wrapped in white linen, and he was laid on a slab of limestone. And that connection is from birth all the way on down through. So how appropriate the great Messiah, the one who provides eternal living water, from John chapter 4, verse 14, was laid as a baby in a stone watering trough. Thank you so much.
Our anthem today is actually a piece that we sang at last year's cantata, and it's one of the most beautiful pieces I've ever heard, and the ladies did a wonderful job, and so we decided to sing it again. Please invite friends to the cantata next Sunday. On a personal note, my sons came last year. My sons are unbelievers. And not only did they enjoy it, they're coming again this year. So just pray that God really touches them in a powerful way. I'm so excited that they're just even in a church. So and I know everybody has people in our families and friends that don't know the Lord. So pray that this would be a time where they are touched in a very real and personal way.
Come now into a time of reading and proclaiming God's word, and as always, we do so beginning with a prayer for illumination. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray that you would come to us now via your Holy Spirit, that giver of life. Breathe into us so that we might hear a word of truth from you this day. Draw us into deep communion with you as we hear your words and their proclamation. Intersect us with your divine purpose and message so that we might experience a modicum of grace and a fullness of your peace. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Today's Old Testament reading comes from the book of Isaiah, Chapter 55, verses 10 through 13. Follow along with me as we listen to the ancient words of the prophet. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the juniper, and instead of briars, the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign that will endure forever.
Our New Testament reading again comes to us from John's final discourse to his apostles and disciples in the book of John. This is such an important speech. There's so much given to it. But today we look at it through the banner of finding joy in all seasons. And hear what our Lord Jesus Christ has to say from us from this 15th chapter of the Gospel of John. I read to you verses 9 through 11. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's command and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, it's interesting to have a joy celebration on a Sunday where we have a congregational meeting, which in the Presbyterian system can feel very much like a business, but that's the nature of it. And I hope that we'll recognize that there's joy even in congregational meetings today, right? That we'll transcend anything and find the truth and purpose and meaning of Jesus Christ in all things, and especially this morning in our worship service. You know, when I was a kid, I had things pretty well timed when it came to Christmas. You see, we got to go to two celebrations every year. It was a real neat way to grow up. I had such an idyllic childhood. I just can't believe I messed things up myself as things got later in life. Because there was so much love surrounding me, and I wasn't as appreciative of it as I could have been. Let's just put it like that. But at Christmas, we got to begin up in Lenoir, North Carolina. That was where my dad's family was from, and they were mill folks. They had worked in mills, and they were very simple, but they had a robust love of Christmas, and it was a different kind of Christmas because you'd get all those toys that maybe your city folk friends wouldn't want to get you, like you got slingshots and other cool things up there that the Charlotte relatives wouldn't have countenanced. But it was a real neat time, and there was cookies and candies and just such a special celebration. We'd drive home late on Christmas Eve so that we could celebrate Christmas Day with our immediate family. But then that day, that afternoon at 2 o'clock sharp, we always gathered at my Charlotte grandmother's house. And that was a different kind of an affair. It was equally joyful, but they were more landed gentry. And so it was a little bit more subdued. But there came a time, my grandmother was, even though she wasn't a Presbyterian, she was in good and proper order. She ran things like on a clock. So everybody got there at 2, and woe be on to you if you were later than that. There would be words uttered. But it also equally had to end at 5 o'clock. She had this strange thing. So at 4:50, at exactly 4:50 every Christmas Sunday, my grandmother would gather us around into her living room from the really special den area that we had the Christmas celebration, and we went more to a cozy space. And there above her fireplace stood stockings for everyone. Whether you were young or old, you had a stocking if you were in the family. And those stockings were, for me at the time, the very last gifts I was going to receive, the very last ones, because in between my Lenoir family and my Charlotte family, we'd seen everybody that was going to give us a gift. Everybody was in one of those two celebrations, so there were no mailed checks from Aunt Ida in Idaho or something like that. There was just what you got. So at 4:50, Christmas ended. My happiness flew away for a good period of time because I knew that not only was that the last gift, that was it for Christmas. How little did I know? I recognize now the shortcomings that I had as a kid, but it brought a certain amount of dread to the day of Christmas. And even though it was a youthful feeling of dread, I think it's one that we all encounter when the rains start pouring in our lives. It's very difficult in those moments to find and locate joy, isn't it? When the doctor's office calls with a difficult test result, or maybe one of our loved ones dies right around the holidays, there can be a profound sadness that comes over you, and it can be very difficult to access joy. I know, personally, myself, it was in July of one year that my sister passed away very early and suddenly at the age of 49, and that was the hardest holiday season I had ever encountered. Because here was the whole weight of River Hills Community Church looking forward to rejoicing in the Lord. And I was in a kind of a form of self-imposed misery and loss over my sister's passing. It was a difficult time because there was such a discongruity between what the world around me was feeling and what I was experiencing myself. And it would have all gone down to misery had it not been for the 11 o'clock service there at River Hills Community Church. It was exactly what the Lord ordered. We had a great baritone sing, "Mary, Did You Know?" And it hit everything. And on the way home, y'all, and it was late at night, I can remember it very vividly, I got this amazing sense of closeness in the presence of God. It was powerful. And it was at that moment that I recognized the profound difference between happiness and joy. That joy, true to what the Bible said, could emerge under the worst of all seasons. Even in mourning, joy could emerge. And it was different than happiness. It felt different than the way it would feel if I was drinking a Coca-Cola or eating a lemon frosted donut from the Krispy Kreme, which Jeannie McClure and I share a particular fondness for. It was a different feeling. And it made me aware of the truthfulness of what Paul speaks about in Philippians 4:4, where he, out of the blue, says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I say again, rejoice." And what he clues us into is the awareness that our joy is not dependent on our circumstances, that our joy has a much higher and better central location. And it comes to us from our nearness to the Lord our God. Well, you might think, well, Jason, how is the Lord near God nearer to me in times of distress and sorrow? And I direct your attention to 1 Corinthians, in which we're informed that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit, which means that God rests in us by his power. The nearness to God can never be taken away from us. It's what Paul says to us at great length in Romans 8, that nothing in this death or in the life to come, nothing can prevent us from the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it reminds us that there is the ability to have rejoicing in even difficult times. So how do we do it? Well, it reminds me of a lady that I met while I was at Rivers Hills. She was in her 90s when I met her. And I'll never forget going to visit her because she had this tortoiseshell cat that always would come and sit on my lap, which was fun at one point. But the cat just stayed. And when it was time to go, you know, you'd kind of, you know, shirk a little bit and you'd think the cat, and no, that cat was on me. You had to literally pick her up and put her off to the side. But as I got to know this woman, what amazed me was the depth of her faith. She had had what by all accounts would be a difficult life. She lost one child very early due to a gas leak. And then another child was thrown from a car in an automobile accident and never fully recovered and required care from that point forward. So she hadn't had what you would call a blemish-free life. There had been bumps and bruises, as there are in all of our walks in life. And yet what she was able to muster was a joyfulness that came from the Lord that I didn't quite understand at the time, but I do now. And what she said to me was that she said, she kept saying, "The Lord's been good to me." And she explained it to me once, essentially saying that it had taken her into her 70s to see it, but that in good times and bad, what made it all possible was God, and God made it all good. It was an amazing awareness from an amazing woman who's now gone on to glory, right? She knows now what we only understand in part, that there is a joyfulness that extends beyond the contours of this very time and place and extends us into the realm of heaven, which is an amazing place that will come when Jesus comes again. Just as we celebrate his birth during the Advent season and on Christmas morning, so too are we as Christians called to rejoice in what's coming, the coming day of the Lord, in which all our tears will be wiped from all of our eyes, and we'll be in a place where there is no sickness, sadness, sorrow, or even death. What she was aware of, and what we can latch on to even in the worst of times, is that there is a source of our joy, and it's the presence of God Almighty. I read to you more fulsomely from a passage that Paige read earlier. I read Psalm 16, verses 9 through 11, and invite you to hear this important word from the Lord about joy. "Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body will also rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful see decay. You make known to me the path of life. You fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." God is the source of our joy, and it's enhanced through the deepening of our relationship with him. As I've said multiple times during Advent, Advent is supposed to be a form of Lent. It's supposed to be a time not of expectation of gifts and the joy that comes on Christmas Day, but rather inwardly reflecting, looking at our lives through a hopefully neutral lens to find what we are, where we are short, falling short of the glory of God, and to turn those things over to him. You can, in this season, very easily pick up a spiritual discipline. Perhaps one of the things that you could do was, instead of getting up in the early morning and just dopamine scrolling your phone, you could, in fact, read a devotion and a dedication to the Lord. I'm going to talk about a man that did that under a difficult time here in a minute. Or you could close your day by reading, instead of the last news scroll of the day, you could deliberately read a psalm. And I say the psalms very specifically because they give us the language and the ability to talk about and with and to God at a whole new level. As we take in the wisdom of the psalms, we find ourselves growing in grace and thus maximizing our joy. Because there is, in fact, a pathway to that, and God tells us it very clearly. Jesus gives us even closer instruction, does he not? In John 15, 11, "If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy in you and that your joy may be complete." So we can count obedience and faith as another step in our path to greater joyfulness. We can find the truth of what God is saying. Follow me, and there will be light and life. And the other side is not, and find yourself wallowing in sin and regret. That's the truth of the matter, isn't it? That when we sin, we find ourselves living a less than advantaged life, far less so than we imagined when we went down that path to begin with. I'm reminded of it as I try to eat healthy. I've kind of let that go. Somebody asked me during the holiday season. I sure seem to be drinking a lot of Coke and finding a way to a lot of donuts. So it's hard to say that I'm trying to eat healthy. But take me out of this season, and I am. And for a while there, my just wonderful wife was making me these salads, and they were good. She put protein in them, and she put nuts, and there was you could always put whatever dressing you wanted on it, and they were really good. And many were the day that I started out of here to home to eat one of those salads, but then I heard that ever-present song, "To all beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun." And I would find myself there at the McDonald's, "Supersize it, sure, why not?" But about an hour later, what you'd find me is in a near catatonic sleep, because I had eaten way too heavy and consumed all of the fat and fat and sodium content for the entire week in one meal. When I would eat those salads that my wife made me, man, did I feel better at an hour out. I felt like I could do something. It's like that with sin, y'all. When we sin, we take in darkness that the Lord doesn't expect us and doesn't want us to have. And it contributes to an overall negative effect on our body, mind, and souls. There's just no way around it. If you've lived more than a couple of decades, you know it to be true, that God's path will always take you closer to the heart of joy than anything else. And God's path is both the avoidance of some things and the wholehearted embrace of others. And I invite you to read your scriptures to know that more completely. That's one of the things that's lost on folks, I think. I think when we want to read the Bible, we want to get in there and finish the whole thing. And that's a good and wonderful purpose. But if that's what's preventing you from just opening the pages and reading a page or two, put that goal out of your mind for the time being and just get in the Word. Because I promise you this, I promise it. Every time you come into the Word of God with an open heart and a willing spirit, you are going to encounter the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes people wonder and fret and don't feel that they're getting close to God at all. They lack that transcendence that comes when you study and read and dedicate your life to God's Word. And they lack it because they're not doing the work. There is work involved. And certainly, finding your way into the Word is a surefire means by which you can start to be more obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Jesus says. Jesus says that there is in this faithfulness a joy to be found. And I think that's what that woman from River Hills was really experiencing. That as she gave more and more of her life to God, God delivered on his promises more and more joy. Joy to the point where she could look at her whole life, which included the whole scope and sweep of all the joys and tragedies. And she could, without question, state that the Lord had been very, very good to her. She was only able to have that awareness because she knew the closeness of the Lord. And she had strived as best she was able to be faithful to his Word in all things and in all ways. And then at the end of her life, she was experiencing the fullness of that joy. And it was an amazing to behold. That, along with the cat, was always a good thing to hold too. God's presence is the source of our joy, and we can maximize it through our faithfulness. But joy, the Bible tells us, can exist even under the worst circumstances. Joy, Paul writes in Philippians 4, as I've said, rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice. It makes us realize that joy is trans-circumstantial, if you will. God's joy is beyond the circumstances of the moment. In fact, he will deliver joy to you because God is proximate to you, and you can have joy, therefore, all the time. We may be able to find joy even in times of our worst trial because we know the author and perfecter of our faith, Jesus Christ, and we know him well. He himself was a man of many troubles who wore a crown of thorn and yet always found ways to experience the joy of relationship with the Father. Joy comes as you realize that humans aren't in charge of everything in creation. There isn't a tyrant God. There is, in fact, at the center of all creation, a wonderful counselor. Did you ever think to tease out what that meant? That at the center of our creation stands not just an omnipotent, powerful force that's cold and calculating. This is a God who is a counselor to us, who speaks his words of calm and freedom from anxiety and fear in his Word. And we come across them as treasures as we read and come to the Word. And it reminds us that our citizenship is not from here. This is an important point for us to have. Jesus tells us, and Paul tells us rather, that our citizenship is in heaven, which means that where we're designed for isn't here. It's not. It's in heaven where there is no sickness, sadness, sorrow, or death. And it's there that we encounter the awareness that we, despite our circumstances, can have joy. There is, even in the hardest times, the awareness that our loved ones have gone on into a greater reward. We know that and feel it deep within our hearts. And when we're honest with ourselves, we realize that even though we're not perfect, that we know that God loves us because we have faith in Jesus Christ that is itself a gift from God Himself Almighty. God, imagine that, has given us everything necessary not only for our salvation, but to find us joyful in all seasons and circumstances. You can come through difficult times with joy in your heart, and you will recognize that it is trans-circumstantial. I say that, and we look at the word itself. If you go to the word happy, which is a place that I think we all want to be, happy's root word, it comes to us in about the 15th century of English language, comes from the root hap, happenstance, chance. Happenstance and chance are behind your joyful, behind your happiness. But Jesus Christ Himself is behind your joyfulness. So you can maximize your joy by drawing closer to God during this season. You can maximize your joy by being more faithful to God through this season. You can maximize your joy through serving others. This is really why we were created. And as we find ourselves serving others in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we can expect our joy to grow exponentially. Because when we do so, we tune in to the frequency of our creation, which was to serve the Lord by acting as a steward of His creation and glorifying God through bearing His image within creation. That's our original purpose and intent. When God designed us, that was in His plan, and we know that because that's what the Bible tells us. Now, as Christians, we see that stewardship to the earth as being stewards of God's people and those who are in the darkness presently. It becomes our point and our mission to share the light of Jesus Christ, to take the joyfulness that cannot be ever taken from us and import it into the world, giving light to the darkness. We may go through seasons of difficulty, everyone does, but the underlying note in our life is the joy that Jesus Christ shares with us. I ran into a great quote from G.K. Chesterton that I thought was very apropos this morning. I read it now. "Man is more himself, more human, when joy is the fundamental thing in him and grief the superficial. Melancholy should be an innocent interlude, a tender and fugitive frame of mind. Praise should be the permanent pulsation of the soul. Pessimism is at best an emotional half-holiday. Joy is the uproarious labor by which all things live. Joy, which was once the small publicity of the pagan, is the gigantic secret of the Christian." I love that line. Pessimism is at best an emotional half-holiday. Joy is the uproarious labor. It is an uproarious labor. You laugh at the world as you're serving the Lord Jesus Christ because you see at one and same time both the sublimity of the Lord God and the absurdity of humanity. And in that, you encounter the awareness that God is moving in and through and among us in a powerful way by His Holy Spirit. He's drawing us all more and more into His light, away from the darkness of sin. And the more and more that we find ourselves faithful to His word, the more and more we find ourselves enmeshed in His calling, we will encounter a deeper and more profound joy in the days to come. May this Advent season be the moment that the tide turns for you if you find yourself in a place of darkness or in a brief season of pessimism. My prayer is for you and for us all that the light of Jesus Christ, Advent, would shine upon us brightly. The awareness that our God loved us enough to come into this world and be true to His word, a wonderful counselor providing us insight. But that also, during this Christmas season, you intersect with the truth that dawned on me that night many years ago when I was on the way home from the Christmas Eve service, is that our joy is a different thing. It's deeper, it's unmistakable, and it can never be taken from us. That's the nature of joy from our Lord. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We come now, having heard the word read and proclaimed, into a time of prayer. As we lift up to the world those things that weigh upon our hearts, those people whose illnesses or sicknesses or sorrows are impactful to us, so that we might pray for them. I invite you now to join me as we pray. Wonderful God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we come before you now, having heard your word read and proclaimed, confident in your grace and love. We trust that not only do you hear our prayers, but that you do indeed respond to them as well. In humility and faith, we lift up our prayers of intercession and supplication. Father God, we pray for everyone here in our immediate vicinity, as well as this further community that doesn't know the joy of Jesus Christ. We pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would break into their lives through some means and use us, if it be your will, to reach these folks suffering without light. Allow us to be the joy that they have not yet intersected with, so that they might know our happiness is not dependent on our circumstances, but we instead find contentment in the arms of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray especially for those among us who are sick, grieving, lonely, or anxious. We rejoice that baby Charlotte has come home, and pray for her continued healthfulness and recovery. We pray for the family as well. We pray for Victoria and Stephen, and just ask that you continue to give them all confidence and joy through this difficult time. We pray for Joyce Norris as she continues to mourn her husband, Frank. We pray for James Harper as he prepares for back surgery in the coming year. We pray for Gene Oates. We pray for Patty Brown. We pray for Nancy Smith. We pray for Ronnie Peterson and Ellen Jackson. We continue our prayers for many victims of Hurricane Helene. We pray for all the prayer requests that we have not mentioned, but that are mentioned and known to you. We pray for all of the people on the Cook's prayer list. We make all these prayers to you, hopeful and expectant of your coming kingdom, and we make them all in the strong name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It was he who taught us to pray in this fashion. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Please feel free to use any of the following options now to donate to Cook's Church and the mission to serve Christ in the area. There's a QR code located in the pew racks and on the bulletin to donate electronically. There's also online giving through the website. Or you can simply take this time and reflect on the sermon and prepare yourself for even greater joy. At this juncture, I'd like to conclude our service, reminding our congregants that we have a congregational meeting following. To our guests and visitors, we just rejoice that you've joined us and look forward to seeing you back here next week. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us this day and forever. Amen. Probably gives us enough to get to just members. And the first question is, do we have a quorum? We have a quorum. Okay, well, let's open our meeting with a word of prayer. Almighty and eternal God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we just pray, Father God, for your wisdom. Come to us now, speaking through your Holy Spirit, so that we might be able to discern your will and follow in your way in all things. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I bring a motion, I guess that it would probably be best to have the buildings people come forward, but I bring a motion from them. The property committee makes the motion to sell the adjacent 1.4 acres where the current church office and storage building are located. The reasons for that were elucidated at some length two Sundays ago, and so we come now, the motion comes from the property committee, and thus needs no second, but we do have time for discussion if there needs to be any. The floor is now open. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Any other comments? Any other discussion? Let's vote the measure then. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
No.
Motion carries. That's the only item for business that we have. The discussion is closed. The motion is carried. Let's. Could I have a motion to adjourn our meeting? Do we have a second? Okay, that one never gets any argument. Let us close with a word of prayer. Gracious and eternal God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we thank you for your guidance and your leadership. Continue to bless this church with your vision so that we might see more and more joy in the coming years. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.